much. I'm very happy to be here to give a seminar on my recent work on this post-traumatic codimension brain action. Do you hear? It's loud enough. This work is based on the recent work with my collaborator Antonios Papazoglou. And then also it will be published soon in a different paper. So let me give you first the outline of my talk. I'm going to give you introduction and motivation to consider spasmetric codimension to brain. And then let me show you our construction of spasmetric brain action with a brain tension only. And then in the presence of the Tsuji brain action, we found new spasmetric brain solutions in the context of the six-dimensional gauged supergravity. And finally, let me report on the recent progress regarding the metamultiples on the brain. So let me ask two questions. One of them is regarding the cosmological constant problem, why the cosmological constant is so small, vanishingly small. But I'm not questioning about the size of the cosmological constant that was observed recently, in recent times. So just I like to ask about the why cosmic constant is small. Then my question is, can I use the flux compactations to approach to the cosmic constant problem? And the second motivation to for my talk is, what is the implication of flux compactations for particle physics model building? So for instance, usually the flux will break higher dimensional spasmetry. Then what is the implication for the low energy phenomenology? And for the simplest example, we consider the flux compactations with the codimension two brain in six dimensions in a particular gauged supergravity. So what is interesting having codimension two brains? Then if you see this simple figure that I have, this is the only figure in my slide. this is the picture for showing how to make the conical singularity in the presence of the some brain tensions. So when the brain codimension two means the special dimensions perpendicular to the brain are two. So when in the presence of the brain tension, the geometry of extra dimensions reacts in a way that it reproduces the depth angle without curving the 4D space-time. So locally, the two-dimensional metric is given by this, which differs from the flame metric by beta. So when beta is different from one, then brain tension can be located at R equal to zero. The brain tension is proportional to the depth angle. So this is the region that I'm considering codimension two brain. So even if I have a non-zero brain tension, they will be responsible for the standard model quantum corrections to the vacuum energy, for instance. Then irrespective of the brain cosmical constant, I could obtain the Minkowski space. Just the change of the brain tension will change the depth shifting only without covering the Fourier space time. And this is the story about the metric around the conical brain. But in order to for the higher dimension to be consistent with observations, to the extra dimension should be compactified on a small manifold, manifold. Then there's some, since I'm considering two extra dimensions, there's the topological number associated with that, the Euler number chi. Suppose that Euler number is chi, Euler number chi is kept, the bulk curvature should respond to the change of brain tension. So from the Euler number is related to two-dimensional curvature plus the sum of the brain tensions on the manifold. So suppose that the topological number does not change, the two-dimensional curvature should respond to the change of the brain tension. So so I'd like to give you some simple model to realize the self-tuning solution, the idea of self-tuning in this six-dimensional non-supersymmetric Einstein-Maxwell theory. The bulk action is simple, which has bulk cosmic constant and the gauge flux, gauge kinetic term, U1 abelian gauge kinetic term. So the vectorizable solution has been found to be like this. And four-dimensional space-time is maximally symmetric. And the two dimensions, two extra dimensions, are compactified on a wedged sphere when beta is different from 1. Then the 4D effective cosmical constant is given by the difference between the bulk cosmical constant and the flux contribution. And the radii of the compact dimension is given by the summation of two contributions. So in order to get the 4D flatness in this model, we need to tune the bulk flux by this relation. And also, when the beta is different from 1, then we can introduce two equal brain tensions at the poles, north, one at the north pole, the other one at the south pole. So from this relation, we can show that the Euler number still could be equal to 2. But somehow, from this relation, if the depth angle is the arbitrary number, this parameter of the bulk solution is determined by the brain tension only. So if I change the brain tension, that whenever I change the brain tension, the depth angle has to be changed accordingly. Then we can keep the flatness once this bulk tuning is still respected. But the story is more complicated than we expected. The gauge potential, we need to take two patches to cover the whole space because the topologically two extra dimensions are equivalent to the sphere. So also we need to take two gauge potentials in different patches. So on the north sphere, we take -1, and the south hemisphere, we need to take a +1. So we have two different gauge potentials. So two gauge potentials should be connected by a gauge transformation. And if there's a charged bulk field with a charge G, then after gauge transformation, the wave function of the bulk field picks up the phase, which is given by this one. And because of the single baldness of the charged bulk field, the flux need to be quantized. So when phi goes from 0 to pi, this phase factor should be single valuedness, this leads to this quantization condition. So if I plug this quantization condition into the bulk tuning condition, then I got this relation. So the brain tension should be related to the bulk cosmic constant in this way, the bulk cosmic constant and the bulk gauge coupling. So there's some kind of fine tuning associated with this, but still we can vary the brain tension by some quantum amount. So this is was the non-supersymmetric story. Now I'm going to talk about the supersymmetric version of it. The simplest case is to consider 60-dimensional chaos for gravity, which has gravity and tensor multiplet as a minimal supergravity multiplet. And the UNR symmetry is gauged. It means we need to add vector multiplet. Because of the anomaly cancellations in six dimensions, we need to include 245 neutral hyperscalars, hypermultiplets. So it's a lot of singlets in some order. But somehow we are, and then the Bojan action of the six-dimensional UNR gauges for gravity is given by this one. And Dilaton here, which belongs to the tensor multiplet, and this one describes the coset space for the hyperscalars. And the bulk, some scalar potential, and gauge kinecton, and the kinecton for the Calvert-Raman field. So because of the supersymmetry, the three-form field strength gets modified by Chern simulton. So when the hyperscalars doesn't have BAP, the bulk potential is projective definite. So this is proportional to the bulk gauge coupling squared. So because of this, the six-dimensional Minkowski solution is not a solution anymore. So the torus, for instance, is Minkowski time, 40 Minkowski times torus could be allowed if the bulk cosmic constant is zero, but this solution is not allowed anymore. So there should be another solution. So for instance, in a simplest case, when hyperscalars and the Calvert-Raman field are set to zero and constant Dilaton, it has been shown in 80s by Salam and Sechkin that the Minkowski solution is a unique solution with the 4D maximal symmetry. So the 4D metric is Minkowskian, and two dimensions are compactified on a sphere. In this case, the bulk tuning condition between the flux and the bulk cosmic constant is guaranteed by Dilaton equation. And also this tuning condition is consistent with the quantized flux with the monopole number plus one or minus one. And another feature of this solution is that it preserves four dimensional n equal to one supersymmetry. So this is the stable supersymmetric solution. But once, because in this Salam-Sechkin solution has two dimensions, which do not have singularities, but we want to have non-zero brain tensions on this manifold. That's why we need to deform the Salam-Sechkin solution with a depth angle with the beta. And in this case, bulk tuning condition is maintained. And as in the non-supersymmetric models, we can introduce two equal brain tensions at the poles. But there's still flux quantization condition, which requires also quantized tensions via this relation. And then there are other factorizable solutions with the fluxes. One is a supersymmetric ADS times stochastic S3, which is supersymmetric. And another supersymmetric solution which has non-zero hyperscalar web, but this solution is singular in the sense that there is native singularity. So recently, there are a lot of interest on this chiral gauges for gravity because the general warp solution have been found. So assuming this gibbons et al. And Barbier et al., they found the general warp solution by assuming the axial symmetry of the extra dimensions. So now we had only Foucault geometry or Lochleber geometry with the factorizable metric. But now we are introducing the warp factor in front of 4D metric. So whenever warp factor comes in, we have a different energy scale depending on the location of the extra dimensions. So in any case, the solution has a very complicated form. We have a W, R, theta functions. Those functions are redefined as a F1, F0, and F0 and F1 is defined by these functions. And this solution, the bulk solution, has three independent constant parameters, lambda, small lambda, Q, flux, and phi 0, the Dilaton constant. And this R0 and R1 appearing in these functions depend on these parameters, so they are not independent parameters. So for general warp solution, there are two different brain tensions possibly located at the conical singularities. In this coordinate, the conical singularities corresponds to R equal to 0 and R equal to infinity. So the brain tension has to match it to the bulk parameters in this way. So we have a two, actually, brain conditions to fix two of three constant parameters. So still we have one parameter left, which corresponds to the modulus of this model. And like in a non-spasmic case, the gauge potential depends on the patch we are considering. So we have two gauge potentials. They are connected by gauge transformation. It leads to a quantization condition. Again, we will get this kind of relation between the brain tensions. So the either brain tension should be quantized. So some kind of this, there's some kind of fine tuning involved also in this model. Even though actually this warp solution is the still maintain the 4D Minkowski space time, one could think of the additional metric unjudged, which is different from Minkowskian. Then it records a naked singularities at the position of the brain. So, but the exact solution with more general metric unjudged has not been known, but there's an existent proof for the cup solution is non-zero cosmic constant. But let me tell you that this warp solution is a unique solution which are regular other than the conical singularities. So also this warp solution shown to be marginally stable under perturbations in the sense that there exists just massless mode, but there are no tachyonic states. And then also this warp solution is generalized to the case without axial symmetry. So let me go on to the second issue that I'm interested in. So what about the brain walls for gravity in this kind of model? So up to now, people consider the brain action to be non-spasmodic, in the sense that brain action is given by the tension only. But the we are assuming that the all the standard model, all the standard model fields should be localized on the brain, or part of that should be localized on the brain. We need to consider the brain multiplet. They should be coupled to the bulk field in a consistent way. So if there is no spasmodic at all on the brain, we can introduce any coupling on the brain, then I think there's no systematic way of considering the brain couplings. So particularly, so if I take the Suji, Burke-Suji transformations, the brain action changes in this way. So supersymmetry is broken explicitly at the brains, at the energy scale of the brain tension. So brain tension is assumed to be order of order the 60 fundamental scale. So maybe one can think of this case as a decoupling limit, where decoupling limit of the brain Suji partners. So you can think that Suji partners are decoupled, they get very heavy mass. You are left with only standard model field on the brain. So in this case, with explicit Suji breaking, maybe one can argue that the Suji breaking scale may be suppressed by the large volume factor of extra dimensions, like the Suji breaking scale. This is the splitting between the standard model field and the Suji superpartners. So this is mass splitting. It's proportional to these numbers, brain tension over the M6 is the 6-dimensional fundamental scale, and V is the volume of the extra dimension. So by using so from here, since brain tension is the order of the 6-dimensional fundamental scale to the cortex, so this T0 and M6 the first are canceled out, that we are left with one of a volume factor. So when the volume is very large, then Suji breaking scale could be determined by the volume factor. So maybe Suji breaking scale could be smaller than the 6-dimensional fundamental scale. So one can see the Burgess review paper on this argument. However, supersymmetry can be broken spontaneously at the brains. This requires a construction of the Suji brain action. So the brain supersymmetry gives rise to a fixed coupling of the brain multiplets to the bulk field. So we cannot write down the brain coupling as I want, but the brain coupling should be fixed by brain supersymmetry. Also, in the case where the Suji breaking scale is lower than the compactification scale, one can compute the soft mass parameters in the 4D effective theory, because the Suji breaking scale is lower than the compactification scale, the effective theory will be 4-dimensional. So this is the usual assumption that people are taking for string phenomenology, I guess. But in the context of 6-dimensional ungauged for gravity, Farkovsky and me and Christoph Liedeling constructed the Suji brain action and the computer soft mass parameters in the 4D effective theory. So I guess also in the 6-dimensional gauged supergravity case, one could generalize this kind of analysis and to compute the soft mass parameters. So we first consider supersymmetrization of the brain tension action, and we'll extend the discussion to including the metamultiplets on the brain. So this is the full bulk Lagrangian of Salam's genus for gravity up to 4 fermions. So the top line corresponds to the bosonic part of the action, which are only relevant for the finding the vacuum solution. And then the others are fermion terms. And here, gravitino and dilatino and gaugino and some bilinear interactions. And the field strength is given by this. And they satisfy the BNK identities by this. And then also, because we have a transimon term, we have a transimon correction in the gauge field strength, the Kalman-Raman field should transform under the gauge transformation in this way. And all spinners, all bulk spinners, should have the same charge under the U and R. So the covariant derivative of the spinner has this term, the gauge coupling. And these are the bulk-Suji transformations up to the trilinear fermion terms. So metric and trismetric tensor and dilatino are the fermions. But if you take the Suji variation of the whole bulk action, one can show that the bulk action is invariant up to the Bianchi identities. So if you do not impose the Bianchi identities, then still there's some leftover after Suji variations. So this Bianchi, if this quantity equal to zero, then no variation. Also this, the Bianchi identity for the gauge field. So since we know the Suji variation of this brain action is not invariant, the invariant, the remaining term must be canceled by something else. The something else should come from the modification of the Bianchi identities. So for the simplest example, I introduced only brain tension on the brain. In this case, we need to replace the field strength tensors with headed ones only for this component. So mu is 4D components, and then the two-dimensional components. So we call this Xi zero as the localized FI terms. So both of field strength tensors have localized corrections. And in this case, the modified Bianchi identities hold for headed ones. But the Bianchi identities for the original field strength tensors do not hold anymore. So on top of this modification of field strengths, we need to impose the G2 boundary conditions around the brain, because we need to require to project out the half spasmetry at the brain. So this is the usual process to reduce the number of spasmetries on the brain. So the G2 symmetry can be regarded as a discrete subgroup of the axial symmetry around the brain. Particularly when I have the general warp solution with the axial symmetry, then we could have a G2 symmetry around each of the singularity. Then we can assign the G2 parities for the bulk fields in this way. So I have chosen the left-handed, 4D left-handed bile killing spinner to be non-zero at the brain. So the surviving supersymmetry is generated by this component. Surviving spontaneity at the brain is generated by this component. And if I flip the sign of the Fi terms, then all the 4D chiral piece should be reversed. And also, since we have a localized correction to the field strength, this localized term is proportional to gauge field. So the whole expression is not gauge invariant anymore. So we need to modify the gauge transformation of the Calvo-Ramon field as well in this singular term. So then whole with these modifications, whole bulk brain system is spontaneous up to full fermion terms. So now we have modified the field strength tensors in the presence of the brain tension. So we'll see some modification while solving the bulk equations. So the Einstein equation is given by this, where the gauge field strength is replaced by the headed one, and the Dirac equation and the gauge equation. All equations, the field, gauge field strength appearing in the all equations will be replaced by headed one. Then the work solutions, general work solutions are maintained except the solution for the F is replaced by headed one. So before when we do not introduce Fi term on the brain, just the field strength equal to this quantity. So field strength doesn't have singular term, but now F hat is given by regular term, while F hat is defined by this expression. So somehow some singular piece in the field strength cancel this singular term. It means the gauge potential must be non-zero at the position of the singularities. So some kind of these Fi terms at the brain support the non-zero gauge potentials at the brain. So it cannot be gauged away. We call them the Wilson line phase at the brain. So this, the additional constant at the gauge potential come out. Because of these modifications, the quantization condition is remodified, and also brain tension relation will be modified in this way. But the bulk terms involving the F hat remain free of singular term. So all the bifermion mass terms will be free of the singular terms. So let me discuss on the spontaneity of the background solutions due to the modification of the field strength. It has to be known that the warp, general warp solution breaks the bulk spontaneity completely. This can be seen just by looking at the Dilaton variation. So in order to have some spontaneity left, the warp factor should be constant. But the Salamsa chicken has been known to be a spontaneous solution. The only chance to get a spontaneous solution is to consider the football solution. So football solution has a constant warp factor, and the non-trivial fermion Suji transformations are given by these two. And then for constant 4D rectangular by spinner, we can show that 4D and 4-1 Suji is preserved. So here, somehow, for Salamsa chicken vacuum, the monopole number n equal to 1. And we don't have this modification here, n equal to 1. So, so somehow, this condition, we have what we obtained for Salamsa chicken. This equation is the same as in the Salamsa chicken. even if I have multiple monofold numbers. And this is because of the cancellation between the spin connection and the gauge connection. So in order to show that the supersymmetric solution is consistent with the 4D effective supergravity, I consider the gravitational spectrum, because the gravitational should have single massless mode, chiral massless mode in four dimensions. So we obtain the wave function of the massless left-handed 4D gravity in this form. Also, as you can see here, the parameters appearing in the wave function get modified by the FI terms here and there. So after importing the normalizability condition on the wave function, then we can get these conditions for the parameters. This condition is equivalent to this condition with in terms of the bulk parameters. So there exists generically multiple zero modes satisfying this condition. If I focus on the football solution, we obtain this condition. M, so this M, I forgot to mention, this M is the winding number. So winding number can be non-zero. So we could have multiple massless modes. It looks incompatible with the four-dimensional effective supergravity, but we can argue that in this way. So there is your isometry associated with the extra dimensions, since we the general warp solution, or particularly the football geometry, has isometry, your isometry associated with it. So, and then we have also your R gauge symmetry in the bulk. So we can take one combination of your R and your Q to survive, such that the Q1 charge is given is proportional to the winding number. So in this case, we can pair up the massless modes with non-zero and R-project winding numbers, and then they are decoupled by having large drag masses. So in this case, we are left with only one, a single chiral massless mode of gravity, you know, with a zero winding number. So just what I want to say is that to get a consistent spectrum in the low energy supergravity, we need to modify the field strengths. The field strengths modifies the number of massless modes in this way. So, I think this is my last chapter. This is work in progress. I think it will be published soon. So now, before I introduced only brain tension on the brain, but now I like to see the coupling of the brain field to the bulk. So for simplest example, I introduced the brain chiral multiply, which is charged on the UNR. So the covariant derivative of this scalar is given by this. So scalar field has UNR, small r, UNR charge. And the fermion in partner has a UNR plus one UNR charge. And then the Suji brain action for this brain chiral multiplet is given by this one. So we start with this globally supersymmetric action and take the Suji variation with a local Suji transformation parameter. This is a standard method. This is called the Netto method. So by considering the Netto method, we can construct the brain action. But still, after 2D transformations with this action, we still have some terms which need to be canceled. So, so in order to cancel the remaining terms, we need to modify the field strength tensors in this form. So we had before Xi zero and Xi zero here and there without modification to this component. But now, because of the brain matter mod split, we have some Nettlecron coupling J mu, and also we have a correction to this component by this form. And then the Bianchi identities are modified by this form. So without gray matter, we don't have this second term, but now we have this term, which are required to cancel the remaining variation of the brain action that I have shown in this slide. And also we need to modify the supersymmetry and gauge transformations of Kolb-Rahmer field, which gather singular terms, the Suzy transformations and gauge transformations. So for now, let me remark on the feature of the brain action. We know that there is a scaling symmetry in the bulk equation motion under the disk scaling transformations. From the burgeoning part of Suzy brain action, we can show that the scaling symmetry is still respected, supposing that the brain scalar field doesn't change under the scaling transformation. So even if we could have some non-trivial potential on the brain, this potential does not play a role in stabilizing the modulus. So again, in order to stabilize the bulk modulus, one has to introduce some bulk non-perturbed correction. Like if we consider some gauge inner condensation in the bulk, then that will contribute to the Dirac potential. So let me conclude. We have constructed the Suzy brain action for codimension two brain with a non-zero brain tension in a specific gauge dispropriety model. And in this, the result is that we need to modify the bulk action and Suzy transformation. Particularly, the field strength tensors must be modified by localized terms. As a consequence, we have shown that the football solution preserves for the n equal to 1 Suzy due to the cancellation between the spin and the gauge connections. And also, because of the localized FI terms, the mass spectrum of any UNR charged bulk will be modified compared to the non-supersymmetric case. And we also showed that they can be only one massless mode of gravity, you know, for the football solution. And we also derived the Suzy brain action by including the brain chiral multiplet. The brain chiral multiplet has a non-trivial coupling to the Brillouin such that the scaling invariance remains. And then we have an, I didn't show in this talk about the brain vector multiplet, but the brain vector multiplet can be also introduced along the same line in the ungated supergravity. So, and also, I didn't say in this transparency, but there's one could introduce some non-zero F term or D term on the brain. So that may be important to break spasmetry on the brain. At the moment, we found only spasmetric background solution, so some further analysis should be done regarding the 4D effective spur gravity, including the modulus stabilization and the Tsuji breaking. That's all. Thank you very much.
The thing that confuses me a bit here is you seem to start with a non-supersymmetric action, and then you essentially perform a field redefinition on the gate field, albeit a singular one. And then you find that the action is supersymmetric after that. And normally I wouldn't expect the field redefinition to do that for me.
Let me give you a simple example, okay, but in even higher dimensions. It's getting more complicated, difficult. I mean, this is simpler. For instance, this is the pattern M theory. So you have a 11 disk probability module. I mean, this has been constructed by Harvard and Witten about 10 years ago. We have a probability module, and EH for Young is on the boundary of the algebra. So in this case, they started with the 6 dimensional spur gravity, and 11th dimension is compact by an orbital. So then you could imagine that the spasmet, including the spasmetic brain action for the EA amine film. But this action itself is globally spasmetic, but because of the volumetric coupling, under the variation of the volumetric coupling, this action is not spasmetic anymore. So that's why they introduced some natural coupling. This is called natural coupling, which cancels the variation of this the variation of the Tsuji brain action. So, and also, of course, I mean, it is not enough to including. It is not enough to include the net of on the brain. We also have to modify the field strength with the singular points. So this is very much similar to our construction. By including the localized term in the field strength, we can cancel all the Tsuji variations of the modified Tsuji action.
But they added a new term to the action, didn't they, as well?
Sorry?
In the previous slide, they added a new term to the action and also modified.
This is the only modification in the brain action, but they modify the field strength with the signal. So
is what you're doing in knowledge, so you're adding some other term on the brain as well?
So in my case, let me go back to my. So in my case, actually, apart from, I mean, actually, I consider the Yuan R charge brain chiral. So let's forget about the Yuan charge. Let's set G equal to zero, then we don't have this the brain tension and the global spasmetric action. So this is global spasmetric, but it is not spasmetric under the local transcript. So we need to add these natural terms to cancel the variation, some of the variation of the global action. But there are some terms left over, so we need to cancel that. This can be done by modifying the field strength. So when I modify the field strength, the Bianchi identity will be modified. So the variation of the bulk action will lead to additional terms to cancel the remaining terms. So that was the idea. I mean, I could specify term by term which one cancel which one, but yeah.
Writing it this way, it looks very singular because you're going to have things like, I think you said in your paper, you're going to have like squares of delta functions.
Okay, let me, I have one test for the question.
Mm-hmm.
So in any case, the singular term appearing in the gate field strength is cast by the singular piece in the background information of the field strength. But the Calabro-Naumann field doesn't play a role, doesn't participate in finding the background information. But it would be problematic to get the singular terms at the level of perturbation. So the modified field strength is given by this one, but this singular term cannot be observed by Hadid gate field strength because we have one half here, just we have one. Right. So still, even if I plug in the background value for the gauge field strength, we still have some singular terms, which is proportional to the gauge field. But if I see carefully the equation for the Calabro-Naumann field, I can find a solution to this modified field strength in this form. So epsilon is 2D volume form. Then by you define the vector mode and the scalar mode coming from the Calabro-Naumann field in this way, then I obtain this kind of classification. So then if I take the integral for the compact extra dimensions on both sides, the left-hand side will be vanished. So we have a constraint for the quantities appears on the right-hand side. So C mu is determined by other quantities. Then we know that C mu just to nothing but the modified field strength is there. So in the gauge connected term, in the connected term for KR field, we have a singular terms, but they will disappear after integrating out this vector mode of Calabro-Naumann field. So here G hat square is proportional to C mu square. So C mu square doesn't have singular terms anymore. And particular for football background, the last term will cancel out. So we are left with these two terms. So this is nothing but the kind of Grinshaw's mechanism where the axionic field is eaten up by gauge field. So I think everything is consistent, even at the linear line.
But that's just some specific solution. You should just be able to make a general argument.
It's okay to do that really. So, yes, maybe this kind of this and that could think of and put thought of as a simple and that maybe. And this, I mean. But I cannot make a general statement, but the, I mean, for this kind of unjust, it could get rid of the single terms. So.
I guess what I'm saying is there's a way of doing brain things where you never write down a delta function, but you just say, I write down the bulk equations, and then I write down the boundary conditions, and you know, so you can add terms to the brain action in terms of the boundary conditions, so you can add terms to the block action. And you never have a delta function doing it, thinking of it in those terms. Whereas this looks a little weird because it looks like you're redefining a bulk field by a delta function, and then the bulk action is quadratic in that field. So you're going to think of like delta function squared.
Yeah. I think that this is a usual, for instance, of course, I mean, this kind of singleton, delta of zero, singleton appears in many situations, like when we compact by some extra dimension on a singular map.
Yeah, but the singular term, it always corresponds to just like a change of a boundary condition. You know, you're adding a term in the brain action or something like that. That's what it means, right? So all the bulk equations look like this with a delta function. And the delta function is just the sources.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it would be more digestible if you just understood that as adding, if what you were saying is just that you're adding some term on the in the brain action, rather than redefining the bulk fields.
Just I want to say is that, I mean, of course, there should be some singular piece coming from the backbone mode to catch this delta form. So in that sense, I think there should be, I mean the backbone mode should have some singular form.
The singularity operation exists in the brain, right? The coding G2 object.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
So presumably there's something on the brain, on the coded G2 object itself, that's keeping the bulk being singular, right? There's a field on the brain that's being transmitted to the bulk through the boundary conditions. This is keeping the bulk being singular. Is that correct? So when you add a vector, whenever you add this new vector field in the bulk, that's being induced by an addition of a field on the brain, right?
Or you could say you're just changing the boundary condition W. That's what it's doing.
Right, because W is already there.
Yeah.
So you're worried about the single piece appearing in the spectrum of the world. I don't understand.
Yeah.
No. I worry about the bulk equations becoming singular, and what I'm saying is let's forget about this way of thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about it. There's another way where you say this delta function just induces some boundary condition, W.
Yes.
Right? So if you're adding an extra delta function in that equation of motion, it just means that you're changing the boundary condition of W. So you're adding some term in the brain action that changes the, because the brain action governs the boundary condition.
Yes.
So I would find it easier to understand if what you say is all you're doing to make it supersymmetric is just adding some terms in the brain action. And that's it.
Because you're without modifying the field strength tensors, maybe?
Exactly. Because you're not modifying it in the bulk, right? Because you're only modifying it by a delta function. So let's sort of separate the thing. Bulk action is the same. So all you can be doing is modifying the brain action, which governs the boundary conditions.
But somehow, I think this also applies, maybe.
See, that's what's going in the Harada-Witten example, right? You're just adding some extra term on the brain that makes it supersymmetric.
But even in Harada-Witten case, the gauge, the field strength tensors will be modified by this singleton. So if you take the scale of this, then you will see the delta scale as well.
Yeah, but you can understand that it's just that you're changing the boundary conditions for the, I guess it's the gate.
Hey.
Do you understand that?
As a result of this equation, you can think of the, anti-symmetric tensor field should have you should satisfy the modified boundary conditions, by solving this equation. But,
that equation just induces some weird boundary condition for that.
Yeah. I think that's the consequence of this modification, but it's not equivalent to saying that only brain action is added without modifying the field strength. So still,
why is that? Why do you do everything on the brain though?
That's just a way of encoding boundary conditions. That's you're not.
Okay.
I mean.
Okay. This.
What do you think the difference will be?
Okay, you could introduce the boundary condition is a Lagrange multiplier, and then you can keep the definition of the field strength as before. That's what I want to say on this.
Yes,
separate out the boundary conditions.
Yes, so that's right.
There's no additional condition.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, there's two ways to do. Some people like the delta function way, and then you integrate the delta function to get the boundary condition. Or you could just separate.
But there's not an additional constraint. It's not. You don't need to add a Lagrange multiplier for that. It's just the boundary condition in the bulk is being sourced.
Yes, that's right. It doesn't come as a new constraint. It's just there. When you vary, if you do the proper variational problem,
the bulk plus the brain action, you pick up the boundary conditions by checking that the full variation, including the brain action, is zero, and the proper boundary conditions go into that. And this is a
this is one way of encoding that. But doing it this way makes it look like you're doing something very singular, which you're not.
Just let me give us some remark on it. I mean, of course, if you think of this simplest case, where you have also delta function scale, which is proportional to scale. So in this case, people have shown that there's a singular delta square term should be there to cancel the divergence. When you do some loop integrals, including the Kaluza-Klein mode of the bulk field, then you need to include this delta functions, delta square term to cancel the divergence. So, this has a special meaning to have a consistent questions.
Yeah, but I think we're just debating over our language, because I would say that probably what it means is you have to add some counter term in the brain action.
Oh. Thank you.